All right. So what did y'all think of the speech? Let me start with Ms. Grace. Hi there.
This is Ms. Grace and...
Ms. Grace, I'm sorry.
I am just shocked to know that you would put Romney, the black folks hater, on the radio so that more people can hear his lies.
I wanted to put it on so that people could hear it and make up their minds for themselves. He is, you know, I've never heard him give a full speech or speak to African Americans. So this was his opportunity and your opportunity to hear, and y'all grown, y'all can make up your own minds.
Well, mine was already made up, but I just happened to turn the radio on in the car.
Uh-huh.
And I heard that, and I couldn't believe it. I told my husband, that's the devil I'm listening to. And he said, yes, I believe it is. So I said, I've got to call in and say, I am disgusted, and I just don't know why you feel like...
Well, hold on. Remember scripture. You know, sometimes you must expose the other side in order to find out what the devil or the enemy is in order to move toward redemption. You know, it's good to hear both sides.
But we also know that he has lied and flip-flopped 1,000 times every time he opens his mouth. So you can't believe him. Nobody can believe him. And so that's all I have to say.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Oh, Amos, that doesn't sound too. I mean, he says what he wanted to say, but it doesn't sound convincing to me. You know, he just doesn't.
There's no warmth there.
Right. There's no meat or nothing. You know, most representatives that, and this is another thing, most Caucasian representatives that want to get elected, they have a tendency to come in the last moment in time and mm-hmm. wanting to get the black vote, you know, so they're bound to say anything that's going to fall beyond on a lot of people's ears who quite desperate need, you know, to get ahead in life. But
right.
I don't know about him, you know. What came to my mind, though, when I first heard that, it was a scripture in the Bible that said, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself.
Ooh.
But if thou scorn it, thou alone shall bear it. So I'm going to leave that like that.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you. Let me go to George right quick at 239-1310. Hi,
yeah, you need to call. Whatever you need to do.
George?
Yeah, 13 up.
You're on the air, George.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
I'm fine.
I'm okay. I happen to hear Romney's comments he made.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like he put his own foot in his own mouth. When he was talking about Obamacare,
mm-hmm.
The crowd reacted appropriately. But anytime a man recognizes that there's a problem in the community and he's trying to address it now, he, as a leader, should have already been doing activities that would highlight his position now on whatever it would take to rectify the problem.
One of the things that got me is when Mr. Romney talked about free enterprise and talked about if you know, people don't go in impoverished neighborhoods and look around and say, where's the free enterprise? Where is this and that? And I look at some of our neighborhoods where retail has left, where businesses has left. And I think what the listeners would have wanted to hear, what those delegates at the NAACP wanted to hear, what would you do specifically, Mitt Romney, with your business expertise and what have you, to bring businesses in those depressed neighborhoods?
But not only that, Amos, what have you done in the past before now?
Mm-hmm.
See, you don't stand up in the light and say, well, I see a problem. No, you're someone who could do something about it. Let your light shine on that, what you're doing, not what you're talking about.
You know, and you raised a good point, because when he got to specific examples of what he did, he was talking about education in Massachusetts. Now, that was some specifics. We may disagree on what he did, but that was really the only part of the speech where he said, this is what I did that benefited African Americans.
And as far as civil rights, when you talk about what his father doing, what has he done for civil rights?
You know, that came up to me because, first of all, a lot of people listening in that room don't know what George Romney did back in the day. And a lot of, there's some people that are listening that do remember that George Romney, Mitt Romney's father, did march with Dr. King, did march for civil rights, was out there on point, on the firing line. They know of his record, but most Americans don't. They don't know what George Romney did. They barely know that he made Rambler at American Motors. Barely.
Right. So, y'all don't talk about what someone else did, and don't talk about what you're going to do. Show us. What you doing?
Do some Missouri. Show me. I appreciate the call. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon with Amos. It is Indiana Black Expo kicks off tonight with the Ecumenical Service. And you bet you got to have a recorder so that you know everything that's going on for Indiana Black Expo. Probably the Indiana Black Expo preview edition of the Indianapolis Recorder. Brandon Perry, y'all ready for Expo?
Oh, yes. We are looking forward to it. We're excited. We're fired up.
So what will we see in this week's Indianapolis Recorder available starting now at newsstands and every place?
Well, of course, we got our annual IBE tabloid, and It has all kind of information about summer celebration events, everything you need to know about where everything is going to be, and we talk a little bit about some of the new things Expo has this year.
Like that cultural connection.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that and some of the additions to the Entrepreneur Conference and all kind of information available in that tabloid. We also have a special article in our Round Town section that just talks a little bit about summer fun, and you know it's a lot of people out there who are looking for fun activities for their family and friends, but you know, kind of want to keep the cost down, so we just have listing of affordable summer activities for the family. And we also have an article about the smoking ban that was recently implemented and how leaders, including the leadership of Indiana Black Expo and medical professionals, are encouraging African Americans to use this law as an opportunity to get away from smoking and some of the health disparities that it causes.
And so all that and more is not only in the regular issue of the Indianapolis Recorder, but it's also in the Indianapolis Recorder's Indiana Black Expo tabloid. Everything you ever wanted to know about Expo. And then the Recorder has a big party. Is that a week from today or a week from tomorrow?
I believe that is a week from today.
A week from today. Is it at the Idle George?
Yes.
And so you can call 924-5143, find out about the big Recorder Jeans and Jewels party that is a week from today, or better still, call 924-5143, tell them you want a personal representative of the United States Postal Service to deliver your Indianapolis Recorder to your home or office. 924-5143, 924-5143. Brandon Perry with the Indianapolis Recorder. Thanks very much for being with us. Let me go back to the phones at 239-1310. 239-1310. Your reaction to Mitt Romney speaking to black folks at the National Convention of the NAACP. As we go to Anonymous. Hi there.
Hey, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
Amos, I got a quick community announcement.
Uh-huh.
Amos, on the 22nd of July, at the Crooked Creek Multi-Service Center, 71st and Michigan Road, I heard yesterday on your program, in honor of Dr. Glenn Howard, how they was, he was involved with the clowning project, the clown project.
Right.
Well, Amos, the clown project is sponsoring this event on the 22nd with the, through the multi-service center up there.
Mm-hmm.
So how you was asking what people can do in the community to become more Glenn Howards. They are expecting up to about 900 children. They are asking for school supplies because they're filling backpacks. Also asking for beef hot dogs, beef buns and beef wrappers, and waters and fruit for the children. Mm-hmm. This are about the children of this city of Indianapolis.
Right.
And when it comes down to our children and to our kids, you know, we done lost one great warrior. And I heard someone said in your studio that it will take 40 to make one Glenn Howard. So we need about 1,000 Glenn Howard to help fill this event on Sunday, the 22nd.
So this is Sunday. This is Sunday, the 22nd, at the Crooked Creek Multi-Service Center on 71st Street, just west of Michigan Road. What time?
Sir, the time I do believe is at 2:30.
At 2:30.
Yes, the contact number and the contact number is area code
317-293-2600.
And ask for
Gina Scott.
Yes. And Amos, mm-hmm. Everybody ought to step up. You know, I sat and I heard the speech of Romney.
Yeah.
But the thing that troubles me the most is that we as people, when we come down to rely on certain part of our government, because there are so many branches of that government,
right,
that we have found out over these past 4 years that one man cannot channel the will of the people. So therefore, the will of the people must start at this grassroots level. Let's help Crooked Creek in the Cloud Project, and let's remember Glenn Howard and honor him. Y'all have a blessed day.
I appreciate it. Back to the phones, and Lawrence at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos. How you been, bro?
I'm fine.
Look here, I wanted to comment on two things. Miss Grace called you earlier and asked why you put that on. I would like to say to Miss Grace, just keep in mind, Miss Grace, that keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer.
Mm.
Okay? And then the other thing is, Amos, he planned that entire he planned for the response that he got when he mentioned Obamacare, because by calling it Obamacare instead of the president's health care plan, he knew what he was going to get as a reaction. So, again, he comes to us with lies, you know, the typical arrogant, pompous, I'll go to them and talk about their president just in their face. I'll tell them what I think about their president. That's basically what he did.
But it sounded to me, right after he said that and there was that loud booing,
yeah,
it seems like he was rattled, and he was unsure of himself for about a minute or so as he continued his speech.
Yeah,
and it was almost,
remember, he went off topic after that. He didn't finish the line he started as he said that.
But that's what I'm saying. Wait a minute. If you knew that you're going in to a place and basically say your mama, because that's basically what he did.
Yeah,
and you should have, and your handler should have said, okay, the minute you say that, sir, you're going to get a reaction, so wait, pause, and then move forward. It was almost like you didn't think you were going to get a visceral negative reaction to that?
That's right. Yeah, it was obvious it was coming. It's like a friend of mine, Mark, said last night on Lawrence O'Donnell's show. He said that it's almost as if he hesitated knowing the reaction he was going to get so he could say to his constituencies later, I showed them people. I talked to them. I talked about this health care plan right to their face. I told them what I thought.
And it was almost a throw. You know, when I saw the early news coverage and the early tweets, I thought it was a very declarative, I will repeal Obamacare. Then
yeah,
when I actually
said the health care plan, he said Obamacare.
Yeah, but then when I actually heard and saw the line, it really was, you're right, a throwaway line instead of the more declarative. Yeah, you know, my first day in office, I'm going to get rid of this thing. It was almost like, well, I'm trying to deal with government spending, and we'll get rid of programs that doesn't work, including Obamacare. Like, it was almost like they made me say this.
Right. His writers, whoever wrote that plan for him, put that in there on purpose. I'm telling you.
Maybe he subconsciously was thinking that his dad would hit him upside the head if he was there.
Well, you know, he reminds, when you speak of his dad, he reminds me of something, another president candidate, well, actually a guy who wasn't elected the last time. He didn't fall close to the tree either, like Willard didn't fall close to George, you know?
Mm.
You know, it's like, it's two different people here. George Romney, like you said, was back here marching with us in the 60s, and this man, he doesn't even know anything about that.
All right, good point, my brother. Let me go to Rose at 239. Thank you. Let me go to Rose at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, Andy?
I'm fine.
First thing I'm going to say, and I don't want anyone to take me wrong, I'm very glad you played that. I had been turning him off every time I see him because it always, just looking at him, I didn't like him and I didn't want to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of all of us, it helped a bit because that added a little bit more to the fire for the reason I don't want to vote for him.
Mm.
Him and his tone of voice, his comments, directing them toward black people. What he needs to be telling us is that we're going to try to make things equal for you, your children, and the jobs, and stop going around talking about what he's going to do individually for blacks.
Mm-hmm.
We should be included on everything. He should. Everybody should be trying to get our children the same education that they give all the rest of them. I know the vouchers are fine, but even though when you get to select, you should be able to know that your child is getting the same thing that the rich people are.
Right.
He's making that accent comment to about the Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
He's been talking about it forever.
Right.
Everybody, I know everybody's been fuming about it like I have. I worked for 40 years in the same place. But the big thing is he's not helping us, and he's not complimenting us by saying that what he's going to do talking to the black people. All he's doing is seeing how far he can go without getting you to do just like they did and react badly. He's trying to see how strong he is in certain places. We need to pay attention to that. It's not what he says. It's what he does, and watch him very closely, because when you hear his voice, you can understand he's reading and trying to replace what he has said and clean up the bad things he said. If he was so honest, he would, instead of having all that money overseas and all those jobs overseas, he's having here to give us jobs.
All right, good. Appreciate it. Thank you. 239-13, tell me, go to Karen, then we'll take a break. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
I just wanted to comment on the speech, because I looked at it with and listened to the strategist on MSNBC, and I agree with Mr. Dyson. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's been accused of going to his private meeting saying one thing and then telling us another thing. He was speaking to those, what do you call it, tea parties or whatever he
right.
wanted them to see, even though I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to still stand up what I've been telling y'all I'm going to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he meant on the other tip. So I agree with that. He knew exactly what he was doing, but he really wasn't addressing the NAACP. He was addressing those right-wingers, as they call them, or
mm-hmm.
tea parties.
Right.
And then on the second thing, I agree with the young lady that just hung up. At least by your playing that, it gave our community an opportunity to finally hear him speak, and we saw he was taking away everything that would really benefit us and trying to pretend like he was doing it to help us. So that's my comment.
I appreciate that. And the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, addressed the NAACP this morning. You will hear his complete speech on the program tomorrow, 239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon. His name is one thing that the Vice President did say to the NAACP today that I did not hear from Mitt Romney. The Vice President said he is a life member of the NAACP. And I did not hear Mitt Romney say that he was even a regular member of the NAACP. Just something to think about. This afternoon's with Amos. Your reaction to what Mitt Romney had to say to the NAACP and anything else for the good of the order. This afternoon's with Amos after these. 239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's with Amos, back in the phones, and Barry. Hi there.
Amos, as I listened to what Romney said, I didn't see any difference from his platform than the platform that President Obama was running in 08, except that President Obama didn't want the Keystone Pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out what's different. What is he saying anything different? Now, there's one thing that I don't like what he said. He said, well, the rich will be fine. They'll take care of it. Well, naturally, they're rich, but they're not paying their fair share of taxes. But I don't see anything different. Seems to me like he's kind of mirroring what President Obama is doing, and President Obama has always fought for the middle class.
All right. Appreciate the comment. Thank you. Let me go to Tom at 239-1310. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, how's it going?
Fine.
Hey, you guys got to remember, if you listen to Mitt Romney's father, they almost sound alike, but he can't go off the page like his father did when he was talking about the military brainwashing. So he got to stay on that straight and narrow line. But people fall for that, it's on them.
Well, hold on. I'm gonna disagree with you on something about Mitt Romney's father, George Romney, because during the break I was doing some Google searches about the civil rights record of George Romney. George Romney in the early 60s appeared at a march by African Americans in an all-white suburb of Detroit called Grosse Pointe. Blacks and others were there marching to try to open up the segregated housing patterns. And George Romney, marched at the head of that march, which ticked off a lot of people, in Michigan. You know, he did things where he stood out strongly and foursquarely for civil rights out on point when he didn't have to. and that's different than his son.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but there's two things in this country you cannot go against. You cannot go against the Federal Reserve and the military and expect to be the president. Thank you, my friend.
I appreciate it. 239-13. Well, maybe, you know, George Romney took a strong stand. That's probably why he did not become president of the United States. And Barry Goldwater ran in 1964, and we know how that came out. Let me go to Reverend Phillips at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, Amos? How you doing?
I'm fine, sir. What's up?
How you been doing?
I've been fine.
Hey,
what's
this
up?
Okay. Now, American people, y'all listen up.
Okay.
Y'all listen up good.
All right.
Now, we know talk is cheap, but y'all got to have good sense. Good sense and pause. Don't listen. Well, you can listen to it, but see, sometimes when you listen, you got to let God show you something.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as
I think we lost Reverend Phillips there some kind of way. 239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon. It's just one of those days. It's Afternoons with Amos on the program tomorrow. Not only will we have the address that the Vice President Joe Biden gave today to the NAACP National Convention. We'll also talk live with Glenda Ritz, Democratic candidate for Superintendent of Public Instruction. She's got some things to say about the ISTEP results that came out earlier this week and other things as it relates to education. Let me go back to the phones, getting reaction to Mitt Romney's address and Anonymous. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
You know, I just wanted to make a comment because I followed them on TV while they were running Newt Gingrich and all the Republican candidates. And, you know, he said things like his father bought up all the business so they could lay everybody off. And, you know, it was very interesting in all the things he said against what Obama's trying to do now. And he sounded like that. He even said that he didn't care anything about the poor people or the middle class. He was all about helping the rich people get richer and cutting the taxes and buying these mortgages when they were foreclosed on because they made money off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, we go back to some of those tapes of what he said then, you know, it's scary that they've programmed him now to give this story about what he's going to do about the black community or the poor community. So I wouldn't believe anything that man said. So I hope people go back and do the research and look at the tapes of what, you know, he was saying when he was campaigning against his own people to get the nomination. And all right. That's all I have to say.
All right, good points, my sister. Let me go to Jerry at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you doing, Amy?
I'm fine.
Hey, 2 points. This so-called surplus that Miss Daniel said all of a sudden just showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think it's $1.2 billion, I think, is the actual total.
Our classroom and the school system are oversized.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather take that money and invest it back into the educational system. It's sad that the politicians, both Democrats and Republicans, that they're concerned about education, but yet they're constantly making cuts in public education. And I think one of the problems is that when people hear public education here in Indianapolis, Indiana, the first thing they think about is IPS. Mm-hmm. They fail to realize that Pike Township, Wayne Township, and so on and so forth are also public education.
And that most of our kids don't attend IPS schools, they attend township schools.
Correct. So why not take that surplus and just get a nonpartisan, someone that's fair, and divide that money equally to all school systems to better our kids?
That's a very good point. And remember, it was the Democrats in the legislature that fought against that automatic tax refund, that fought against the cuts in public education that the governor made, that fought against some of those budget priorities. And now that the actual surplus is $2.15 billion, That's how much cash reserves we have. And I understand holding on to some reserves for a rainy day, because we've been through some rain, even though we don't have the rain right now, in terms of the weather. But and it was interesting hearing the words of Mitt Romney talk about improve education, do this, do that. That costs money, Doc.
Right.
And then if you're going to provide voucher money, federal voucher tax money, well, the parents can take that anywhere. Well, okay, the parents can take that. What guarantee is the school's got the resources to take advantage of the little pittance you're going to bring them?
Right. One more thing before you go, Mr. Davis.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate in our community. I don't know if everybody wants to see this, but America is still getting rich off our black kids, from crime to education to prison. And we have to do something about it.
All right, good points, my brother. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is After News with Amos. We'll be back with our remaining moments. It's After News with Amos after the. Back to the phones and Diane. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
How are you?
Just fine. I would like to comment on the Romney's speech.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010, when all the Tea Partiers got in.
Yeah.
Now, I think things happen for a reason. Now, everyone has seen what they have done. They have done nothing but obstruct since they've been there.
Right.
Romney is a puppet for the Tea Party. They give him things to say, which probably will never happen, and they'll do other things. So they tell a lot of lies, and Romney's in the front of it. He probably wants to do these things, but it's not going to happen because this isn't really his party. It's not the same Republican Party that it used to be. This is a Tea Party Republican Party, and it's not a good thing. So I agree with all the other callers that what Romney has said is not true. He doesn't tell the truth. He can't speak for himself.
All right, appreciate it. Reverend Phillips, we kind of lost you there in the ozone. We got you back. How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm okay.
God bless you.
Yes.
Now, I want the American people just to think back.
Go ahead.
I just want the American people just to think back. We don't want to look back. We want to look forward. Just like President Obama said, we don't want to look back. We want to look forward.
Okay.
So if y'all would, on November 6th.
November 6th.
I want to see everybody vote. Because, see, if you want to make a difference, and see, we can make a difference if we get out here and vote, maybe the crime will go down. And everything else.
All right.
Maybe people can respect people more.
Okay.
And everything, because something about to happen, and you don't know where God gonna lead us to.
All right. Good point, David. You're gonna have the last word today. Hi, David.
Yeah. Just a quick question for you, Amos. You know, we realize that we have some issues in our community. We understand that there's some crime issues and other issues. Do you think there's some actual rich Republicans, even if they won't say it, that realize, you know, there's no way that we can not increase the taxes, they're saying this, there's no way we cannot increase taxes on the rich and expect the poor to be working two or three jobs and not make any money? Do you think there's rich Republicans that see that their policies aren't really
I think there are some in their heart of hearts that probably, you know, aren't greedy, that are honest people. They're probably, and we don't know. I think people kind of think that Warren Buffett's a Democrat. I think Warren Buffett's an independent, and he wants to support people in office that will do the right thing. Bill Gates, we know he got more money than the law allows.
Right.
But Bill Gates is not one of these greedy, rich folks. It's all for self, and he's putting his riches where his mouth is in terms of doing what he can to improve, you know, the quality of life, not just in this country but around the world, with his Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I think there's some others. A lot, and I've said this on the program before, a lot of this whole Tea Party conservative stuff is selfishness.
Right.
Is pure, unadulterated selfishness. I mean, these are people that talk about we ought to restrict the rights of poor people to vote. We ought to restrict the rights of women to vote. I mean, these are people who believe I got mine and you don't need to get yours. I mean, these people honestly believe that. And the other thing is, just because you're rich doesn't mean you can't have warmth and humanity.
Exactly.
You know, there are a lot of successful rich folks who could have gotten up there at the NAACP meeting, talked about free enterprise and freedom and been specific and did warmth. That was the one thing that was missing, and you'll hear it tomorrow when you hear the vice president. The vice president got down.
Right.
Just reading the tweets, I got soul. I have not seen the tape yet. I'm going to see the tape later this evening. It may fire me up for the ecumenical service at 7 o'clock at Light of the World. But I think we might have to get Joe Biden to church based upon. So if you want to hear a sermon tomorrow, which you should have heard today from Mitt Romney, you'll hear a sermon tomorrow, and he defends the president's record. And I think that's something the community has been asking for. When y'all gonna defend the record? You'll hear the vice president at the NAACP convention, his remarks tomorrow.